Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Performance.
Welcome back to 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Dan Pilla is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Dan's a new friend. He's for several decades now, he's been helping people just like you and me deal with our tax issues. And good times, bad times, mostly the bad times. And he's been helping people understand what their rights are, what the strategies are that they need to employ when they have issues with the IRS, but also with creditors. And his new book is called How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. I think he's got about a dozen other books behind him. And some of you may have seen him on any of the, he's been on just about all of the television shows and publications. He's widely distributed throughout the media, and he's here to talk to us about some of his strategies that hopefully can help you. Dan Pilla, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you. Good to have you here. I'm doing great. I was telling the audience earlier that, as you know very well, in the last 5-6 years, Americans have gone through really, really tough time getting out of debt. And part of that getting out scenario has included debt forgiveness. The car got repossessed, and they didn't get, you know, they got that debt was forgiven, or a loan was written off by the bank, or even if a house is foreclosed, the part of the debt that mortgage that was forgiven, the IRS, the bank may say, okay, you're square with me, but the IRS doesn't say that, does it?
No, it doesn't. In fact, any time you've got debt forgiveness, Jim, whether it's a home foreclosure, a short sale, a car repossession, like you talk about, millions of people negotiated settlements with credit card companies over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have debt forgiveness, the creditor is going to report to the IRS that they forgave that debt. And so if the bank wrote off
$50,000, they're going to take it on their tax returns as a loss.
Well, they'll take the loss. That's true. And what happens is it gets reported to the IRS, and that reporting process is done through a Form 1099-C. And taxpayers, you know, a citizen gets that Form 1099-C in the mail, and they say, what the heck is this? You know, I negotiated with my credit card company because I'm broke. I lost my house in foreclosure because I'm broke. You know, the car was repossessed because I'm broke, and now I got this 1099-C that's supposed to be income. What income did I have? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the IRS expects you to pay taxes on that.
And that's what we call phantom income, right, Dan?
Yeah, we refer to it as phantom income in my book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. I kind of refer to it as phantom income. The technical phrase for it, Jim, is cancellation of debt income. You had income as a result of cancellation of debt, and that's what the 1099-C reports to the IRS, the cancellation of debt income. And unfortunately, most people don't realize that there are a number of exceptions to the cancellation of debt or phantom income rules. And unfortunately, even worse, too many tax professionals don't realize
don't
what all the exceptions are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, millions of people end up paying taxes on this income that they don't really owe.
Well, now, it's not really phantom income, folks, if you have the money to pay the taxes. The phantom income arises when you have debt forgiveness that becomes de facto taxable income based on the IRS, as far as the IRS is concerned, but you don't have, you know, usually when you get income, you get cash to go with it, like when you sell a stock, you get the money for the stock. When you get paid for your job, you get paid the payroll check, right? But with debt forgiveness, you don't get any money, and it's not phantom income, though, unless you don't have the money to pay the taxes, and then it's phantom income, and that's what Dan talks about in his book. So tell us, Dan, about some of the things that we need to know about this.
Well, the first thing you need to know is that the law that creates the tax responsibility on this debt forgiveness income is Code Section 108, and the number is not important, but what's important is there are so many exceptions that are built into the law that if you understand what a few of the exceptions are, then the fact is that the vast majority of people that have this cancellation of debt income are not going to owe taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the most common one, and I talk about a number of the exceptions in the book. I give you the three most common ones in the law that apply to just about everybody, and then I also give you a number of what I consider to be court created exceptions to the cancellation of debt income rules, and by that I mean the defenses that the courts have set up as a result of litigation over the years on this issue. So when you add these all together, there are so many exceptions to the debt cancellation rule that virtually nobody is going to owe taxes on any 1099-C if you understand what these exceptions are. Okay, so now we started out with the most common one. The most common one is the insolvency rule. And what that means very simply is if you were insolvent as of the date of the debt forgiveness, then you are not taxed on the debt forgiveness to the extent of insolvency. Let me give you an example. First of all, let's define insolvency. You are insolvent, very simply, if the fair market value of all of your assets is not enough to pay for your liabilities. Let's just say, for example, that you're...
So basically, you're bankrupt.
Well, yeah, but the bankruptcy thing is different from insolvency.
But I mean, taking bankruptcy is not the same thing as being bankrupt.
Well, that's true. That is very true.
You can be practically bankrupt without being technically bankrupt.
Yeah, that is correct. And when we're talking about insolvency, if you add up all of the liabilities that you owe, let's just make this a very, very simple example. Let's say you owe your only asset that you have in the world is a car that's worth $3,000, and let's say your liabilities. Let's say you got credit card debt of $10,000. Mm-hmm. So if you sold all of your assets, which is your $3,000 car, you would be $7,000 short of being able to pay off your debts.
Right.
All right, that's insolvency.
Mm-hmm.
In that example, you owe $10,000, your assets are worth $3,000, you're insolvent by $7,000. All right, now let's go to the next step. You've got this
quickly.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, now you negotiate with the credit card company to cut your $10,000 liability to $5,000. The bank reports to the IRS that you had debt forgiveness, but in fact you were insolvent by more than $5,000, and so none of that's taxable.
So you need to talk to before you file your taxes under these scenarios. You need to make sure you're talking with a tax preparer that understands, and you need to specifically tell them understands how all this works, how this forgiveness works. So you don't pay taxes on income, you don't have to.
You can buy
the book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness, by Dan Pilla. Right, Dan?
That's right, yeah.
So hold on to that thought, Dan. We'll come back and talk about this some more with Dan Pilla. Also, we're going to talk about Tax Freedom Day. That's today, 20 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.